2020 proved to be a long and challenging year, but also one that found a majority of brands, advertisers, and agencies bringing programmatic media in-house. According to a survey conducted by the IAB and Accenture, nearly 70% of U.S. brands brought programmatic in-house last year. In-housing has become the rule and not the exception. To learn more about the status of in-housing, we speak to April Weeks. April is the Executive Vice President of Media Services and Operations at Centro. She's a tenured ad tech leader who's worked with numerous Fortune 500 brands in her over 20-year media career. She leads a team of over 300 media professionals and helps brands and advertisers navigate the waters of in-housing. April shares what in-housing is, how its implementation can vary by advertiser, and why not brands consider bringing programmatic in-house. She also shares some wisdom and advice for people looking to advance their careers in ad tech and media. This episode on bringing programmatic media in-house with Executive Media Services Leader April Weeks starts right now. April, thanks for making time right at the beginning of the year to talk about in-housing and why now might be a good time for advertisers and brands and agencies to consider it.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
We live in a world consumed with the concept of digital transformation, and that's a thing that's permeated our industry of ad tech, most commonly in the form of bringing programmatic in-house. And the term of in-housing has now been used commonly for years, but just to start this conversation off on the right foot, April, can you share a description of what programmatic in-housing entails?
Sure. It's a really good place to start because in-housing can take a lot of different forms and may not look exactly the same for every brand or organization. But quite simply, it's really brands bringing a portion, if not all, of their advertising and marketing related activities that might historically be placed with an external partner, such as an advertising agency or creative agency or media services partner, and really bringing those various functions and activities in-house within their own organization. And for lack of a better way of putting it, either establishing a center of excellence or their own in-house agency. So really bringing those functions inside the brand and controlling more of that from the brand and a team that's sitting inside the brand specifically.
You kind of touched on this moments ago, but can you provide more background on the multiple forms of in-housing that advertisers might consider embracing?
Absolutely. It is definitely not a one-size-fits-all. Most notably, I think a lot of in-housing has started most predominantly in two areas. The first either being creative and bringing a lot of creative services or creative and content development or syndication services in-house and letting those live more directly with the brand. And secondarily, specifically in the area of media, it's more focused around programmatic and bringing a lot of the programmatic, planning, buying, optimization functions in-house and inside an organization. But it certainly is not limited to those two functions. It can be everything, all, advertising related functions coming in-house. It could just be creative. It might just be programmatic. It could be all of media. So, and even for some organizations, it could be more focused very specifically around data and analytics. So it really depends on the brand, how they are currently set up, more importantly, what they're hoping to achieve through in-housing, and then really developing almost a bespoke type of solution around in-housing that makes the most sense for their specific organization and what they're trying to accomplish.
What are some of the reasons why a brand or advertiser would want to bring programmatic media in-house?
Sure. I think, probably many of us are familiar with the conversation that's had a lot of traction in the industry over the past few years around transparency, the desire for brands to have more visibility and more direct control. And programmatic really has been at the center point of that conversation. So when it comes to programmatic specifically, a lot of brands look to in-house programmatic for those reasons. It's not only to gain potentially more efficiency in terms of how they work, potentially more working media dollars, depending on how their current setup might be with an external partner. But I think most importantly, it's really around control, transparency, and increased visibility.
You mentioned the idea of having more control, and maybe some folks who are listening have a vision of what those benefits are. But for anyone who doesn't, can you go into more detail of what having quote unquote more control can mean?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as opposed to, you know, working with potentially an external partner, let's just say for conversation's sake, an agency, by a brand having more control, it's really having direct access to a DSP, understanding exactly what type of data targeting fees are associated with programmatic buying. And so it gives the brands more direct access, which can in some cases enable, you know, a better link to business outcomes, business results. And so it's really having that ability to look under the hood, if you will, and kind of get, you know, a firsthand look at what's happening with the programmatic buys and actually working inside of a DSP or a demand side platform.
What are some of the reasons why an organization may not want to consider bringing programmatic in-house?
First, you need to align on the business reasons for why you would want to do it. There needs to be alignment across internal stakeholders within a brand. Additionally, there needs to be a lot of thought put into it. And as I like to say, kind of four areas of readiness. The first is, you know, business readiness and understanding, you know, what does success look like? What are the goals? What are the benefits of in-housing programmatic, for example, versus, you know, continuing to have that with potentially an external partner? In addition to that, it's people readiness and making sure that inside your organization, you do have the right team in place with the skills, the knowledge around programmatic, you know, digital acumen, things of that nature, so that you can successfully put hands on keys, if you will, in managing those programmatic buys. The third area is really around tech readiness. And, you know, you do have to have access and partnership with the DSP. And, you know, there's a lot of different options within the marketplace, but you also have to think through not only DSP for programmatic buying, but how is that going to impact automation, workflow, and what type of platform would best enable that and what makes the most sense for your internal organization? And how does that connect with, you know, other tech partners or your tech stack so that everything flows together seamlessly? And then finally, you know, more from an operational standpoint, thinking about the necessary processes that are in place. So as you have more direct access and you're managing programmatic buys, you know, how are the results being socialized internally? How does that potentially influence the media mix, the results and KPIs that are being reported? And really overall, how does that shape, you know, the marketing plan, budget decisions? And so what is the process for that to make sure that it's a seamless, kind of a well-oiled, you know, machine internally within a brand? And if you're not able to really think through those kind of four areas of readiness or are not prepared to put plans in place to support them, it might be better to go down a path of maybe getting yourself ready for self-sufficiency, but doing so in a more phased approach and working with a partner that can enable self-sufficiency, but it doesn't have to happen all overnight, because you want to make sure that as you're standing up this practice or the center of excellence, that it's, you know, it has success and there are good outcomes. And without taking that time to really prepare and ensure that you've got readiness across those four different areas, that could definitely be a reason why maybe, you know, going all in is not the right approach initially. And looking at something that's a little bit more phased could be a better way to ultimately get to the same outcome, but not necessarily doing it all at once.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of intentionality around any organization wanting to move forward with any form of in-housing. Just to do a quick recap on the points you made just now, April, I heard you say business readiness, people readiness, tech readiness, and was the last one process?
Process readiness. Sure. Just from an operational standpoint, making sure all the right processes are in place to really support that in-house team.
Thinking about all those prerequisites you just mentioned now, April, makes me reflect on the fact that in-housing isn't a brand new concept. It's been around for a while. Many brands and advertisers are better suited to meet those requirements today than they have been in the past. And in those past 5 to 7 years, there have been advertisers that have tried to jump in with both feet and only figured out after the fact that the infrastructure wasn't quite there. If you're an organization wanting to make the switch and you also want to avoid backpedaling, how do you ensure you're actually ready to take programmatic in-house?
I think the single biggest factor for determining that is alignment and commitment. And what I mean by that is establishing, you know, really giving thought and establishing what are the benefits and how is this going to enhance what we're doing from a marketing and advertising perspective? Does in-housing support the overall vision and goals of the marketing team? And are we willing to make the investment? And what are we hoping to accomplish and having clearly defined KPIs and measures of success? So I think if an organization is willing to map that out and have alignment across key stakeholders, then, you know, I think that's really the first step. But if it's, you know, taken lightly and as, you know, there's a lot of trends and things that happen within the ad tech industry. And if it's, well, you know, this seems like something that's happening, so we should probably do it too. That's not necessarily the right reason because, you know, you want to make sure that you are putting forth the right investment and the right framework and thought behind establishing an in-house practice, whether that be for programmatic or really for any area that you might be in-housing. And it's going to require, you know, the commitment to the people, the processes, and the technology to have a successful outcome.
Totally agreed with you. And for organizations who aren't in alignment and aren't ready to make the multiple layers of investment required, then all the forecasted benefits that that organization seeks to reap end up becoming just really a slew of operational burdens.
Right. You want it to be a success and beneficial. You don't want it to become a pain point. And I think jumping in too quickly, maybe without thinking through those things, which I think actually, you know, it could potentially seem overwhelming. And I don't think it has to be. And that's why I think, you know, starting off small, maybe you don't in-house, you know, every single function. You pick one, and you know, programmatic is certainly a great place to start. But you definitely want those parameters established so that it can be a success and a benefit and not turn into something that, as you mentioned, is more of a pain point.
I know I shared some of my perspective on the ad industry, brands, advertisers, and agencies being much more receptive and prepared for in-housing. But do you see the industry embracing in-housing more rapidly this year than in years past?
I do. I really do. As you mentioned, it's been around. It's been part of the, you know, industry conversation now for a few years. But I think why we're going to see further adoption in, you know, a lot of brands leaning into this idea more is as a result of the pandemic. I mean, over the past year, I think we've seen, you know, a fundamental shift in how we have to think about working, remote working. I think a lot of organizations are tasked and challenged with trying to do as much as they possibly can with the resources that they have and trying to drive as much efficiency within their business as possible. And I think for some brands and organizations, in-housing is a way for them to accomplish that. So for those that may not have given it a serious look in the past, I think a lot of things are being reevaluated as we come into 2021 as a result of learnings and just experiences that we all, you know, went through as part of the pandemic last year. And, you know, frankly, that we're still going through because we're not completely on the other side of it yet. But for those reasons, I do think we're going to see more adoption and conversation around in-housing this year.
So I appreciate all the thoughts on in-housing in 2021, April, for anyone who's considering bringing programmatic in-house for whether that's brands or advertisers or agencies. But I also wanted to talk to you about you as EVP of Media Services and Operations. Can you share some points on why you decided to continue your media career at Centro?
I've been with Centrum now for almost 7.5 years. And I think one of the things that attracted me and still keeps me engaged and motivated every single day is just our entrepreneurial spirit of this company. Every day is truly a little bit different. Every year that I've been with the company has been a little bit different. I love the fact that we are, you know, focused on the ad tech space, but that we also couple that with media services. You know, I really enjoy getting to partner and support the media services team. They're a really smart, great group of media professionals. I also get to work alongside sales, which I think is really interesting and a different dynamic that, you know, from my past background of being agency focused, I didn't have the opportunity to do so. And so, you know, I love the fact that we are always trying to craft really thoughtful solutions for our clients to help them solve their business problems. I love getting to talk to our clients and making sure that, you know, we keep our pulse on what's happening in the industry and that we're helping them navigate this space and helping them achieve, you know, their business results and shared success along the way. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a very rewarding opportunity and experience, one that I'm incredibly grateful for, and get to work alongside a phenomenal group of people.
You mentioned you've been at Centro for 7.5 years now. What evolutions in media have occurred over this time frame that you found to be particularly compelling?
Well, first for me, just kind of in the spirit of our theme today, is programmatic, because, you know, I was part of Centro when we, you know, acquired Site Scout, which is now, you know, part of Basis and our DSP, and really seeing us grow and develop and curate a very strong programmatic practice and working with our clients and just seeing the shift that's happened over the past few years and the growth of programmatic, I think has just been, you know, very transformational for the industry. And, you know, I know what it's done for our business, and I'm, you know, have really enjoyed being part of that. I also have really enjoyed seeing continued growth for social and search across our teams. And more importantly, just how we have brought together from a measurement and analytics standpoint, all of the various media touch points, and are really trying to tell the story and move the needle in terms of business results for our clients. So those have been things that I've personally really enjoyed over the past few years and during my time at Centro. And then I think just most notably over the past, I would say 12 to 18 months, just the phenomenal growth in connected TV and what we're seeing happen there, and how I think that is going to continue to grow and garner larger portions of spend. And then, you know, long-term, how that kind of has impact to more of the traditional linear TV landscape. So I think, you know, all of those things are incredibly interesting. And I personally think it's a really interesting time to be in the ad tech and digital media space.
And for anyone unfamiliar with Site Scout, that's the DSP that Centro acquired just a little shy of a decade ago. That's now become an integral part of Basis by Centro. And just to comment on something you just brought up, especially CTV, it really warms my heart to hear you mention it, because it's a popular topic of client interest that I often talk to a lot of clients about. eMarketer recently projected year-over-year ad growth spend climbing over 40% for this year. So I'm excited to see what shakes out with CTV as well. So I can't have a conversation with you this early in 2021 without taking a moment and asking about 2020. Not an easy year. What did the year teach you as a leader of a 300 plus person media services team?
Yeah, I mean, what an interesting year. Definitely challenging for all of us. For me, I personally learned we as individuals and as a team are far more adaptable and resilient than I think we give ourselves credit for. We had to so quickly adjust back in March of last year to remote working and just, you know, kind of changing how we communicated with one another. You know, we've always had folks across, you know, multiple offices. And so I think communication has always been incredibly important. But for me, I learned our team can adapt. They are incredibly resilient and we are so much better together. And, you know, with not being able to travel and working remotely, I actually, in many ways, got the opportunity to get a lot closer to the team, at least, you know, a number of my direct reports where we increased our frequency of communication through video calls and just staying really connected and making sure that the team was doing well as we, you know, navigated the pandemic and all kind of adjusted to the new ways of working and kind of the new normal. And so for me, it's always been incredibly important, but I think it really underscored the importance of just really strong communication and always making sure you make the time to listen and be present and available for the team. I think it's incredibly important. And I think that was just further punctuated going through last year.
I wholeheartedly agree that that was also my biggest learning of 2020, the intentionality with which we've been required to communicate with one another has not only made us closer, it's made us better able to manage client business and business needs. And just the contrasting opinion that CEOs, business professionals, managers have had for so long has been that in order for us to work effectively, it's absolutely mandatory that we physically be together. But the circumstances that have impacted us and that continue to have really disproven that and or shown that there are other ways to work. So connected to that past answer, April, what about the advancement of technology are you most excited about as far as how your team will be able to better serve clients in 2021?
I would say I am most excited about our continued focus on automation. You know, we're very fortunate that we have Basis and, you know, we've got such good technology as our foundation. But even going beyond Basis, just I think over this past year, we've really had the opportunity to evaluate our internal processes, how we're working, you know, enhance things that are working really well, make changes where things aren't, and really just automate to the degree that we can, you know, tasks that can and should be automated, really allowing our teams more capacity to focus on clients and their business, partnering with clients, and really ensuring that we're delivering against the KPIs, the objectives, and helping them solve their business problems. I'm incredibly excited by that because I think if we can continue to automate, it allows our teams to focus on the things that I think are most important for the clients and for their business.
Completely in alignment with you there, April. The parallel scenario that comes to mind for me when thinking about embracing automation in ad tech is the idea of working out or going to the gym or getting a personal trainer. We don't always want to do it, but once we've done it, once we've created that process or that system, we're ultimately empowering ourselves to better reach our goals and we're better off for it. So from there, I just have another question or two for you, April. You're a longstanding executive leader in the advertising and media industries. Do you have any advice as a tenured executive for anyone looking to grow and develop themselves in these industries?
Sure. I would say I actually can answer in two ways. I think for everyone, it's stay curious. I think it's so important, regardless of where you are in your career, whether you're just starting out, you're midway through, or you're maybe, you know, a little bit farther along, but just remaining curious and wanting to continue to learn, because I think there's always something to learn in this industry and it's always going to continue to evolve and change. And just being a student of the industry and having curiosity, I think, is so important. And then I would say as a leader, I think it is really, really important to understand, to first listen and really understand. I think so many times as a leader, your natural inclination is to try to solve the problem for someone and to jump in with a solution. And certainly that is part of leadership. But I think before you try to solve the problem, you first have to understand the problem and you have to understand it from the perspective of the person on the other side of the desk. And so always making the time to listen and be thoughtful gather all the information, and then help partner and develop a solution together. I think those usually have better outcomes, and I think there can be mentoring, coaching, and learning along the way through that process, as opposed to just coming in and always having the solution.
And I think that answer has application for people that you manage internally, but I think it also has a lot of application for clients. Like, so often we are having interactions with maybe people that we've had a prolonged relationship with, or even maybe it's a new and burgeoning relationship, and we presume we understand what they're looking for, but we can do exactly what you described. Like, we need to ask deeper questions so there can be greater connection with us understanding how to better meet their needs.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, no one usually is going to know their business as well as the person on the brand side that's in their business, and they're living and breathing it every day. And I think just in the spirit of good partnership, yes, we should come to the table and help solve problems and put forth good strategic solutions. But I think the best partnerships are born out of, you know, mutual respect, and one that really starts with listening and trying to understand and gather all the facts and the data.
I appreciate not just all the advice, but also the conversation around leadership, and most importantly, reflecting on in-housing in 2021. Overall, it seems like a really good time for a lot of organizations to consider it. So, April, I really appreciate you making time for the conversation.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great topic. It's exciting. And I think 2021 is going to be hopefully a really good year for everyone. So thank you.
Thanks again to April Weeks, Executive Vice President of Media Services and Operations at Centro, for her thoughts on the state and future of in-housing. It's a great year to consider it. That's it for this episode. Join us next time for more AdTech Unfiltered.